What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Hassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Playtesting, an unexpected emergency pod. This is episode 164. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, rate, subscribe, 5 stars everywhere you get your podcasts, and subscribe. Go to YouTube, subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. You can find us on the Playtesting playlist there. Thumbs up on all those videos if you can, and at Playtesting on both the Twitter and Instagram feeds. Good stuff there coming out all the time. But the big news of the day, the breaking news, it's funny. We were talking about the schedule after our episode yesterday. It's me and Pat today, by the way. Sammy on a plane to Seattle. We weren't going to line up all three of us. We wanted to get something out there for quick reactions on the big news of the day, which is that Walker Buehler has agreed to a 1-year, $21.05 million contract with the Boston Red Sox. It's funny because literally yesterday we're talking on the show about, yeah, Christmas week is always the quietest week of the year, like Monday through at least Wednesday, like nothing's going to happen, probably Thursday too. And like, we'll see if we can find stuff to talk about later in the week when we do a show, we'll do a show on Thursday and Friday. Uprooted because Monday morning Red Sox make a big signing, Walker Buehler, to an expensive 1-year deal. The deal is literally exactly the value of the qualifying offer. And yeah, that was unexpected big news of the morning. Pat, how you feeling about it?
I mean, it's hard not to love it, right? They're finally the big thing here is like Crochet kind of set you up for this. You're allowed to kind of go out on a limb for some guys. We all wanted Burns, understandable, you know, I get it. But I mean, Buehler has the postseason pedigree that I don't think anyone else on the market offered. He has an incredibly high ceiling if he's even 80% of what he was before the most recent Tommy John. It's a 1-year deal. If he sucks, it's a 1-year deal. If he's great, you extend him the QO. Who knows? Maybe you try and extend him during the season. Like, it opens plenty of avenues. If anyone's complaining about this, they're out of their mind. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you talk about – it's just so funny. I was literally writing tweets from Jen McCaffrey's article today talking about how the Red Sox may want someone, a veteran guy – with playoff experience, and Walker Buehler literally has 9 times the amount of playoff starts as the rest of the Red Sox rotation combined. So like fills those shoes. And you make a good point, Pat. Like, we going into the offseason, my thought here was they need an ace, and that will push everyone down into their proper roles, which getting Garrett Crochet did. You had 5 starters. Crochet is a great number one. Hauk is a average or better than average for a 2. Like, I would think Hauk is better than most 2s in Major League Baseball. Bayo, Giolito, and Cutter rounded out. And like, you could have been okay there. This is them, I think, going above and beyond, knowing that you're going to need a lot of extra starting pitching to make it through a season. We've seen it time and time again here with the Cooper Criswell starts, the Josh Winkowski starts. The year before last year, it was the year of the bullpen game. And now you've got 6 legitimate major league starters. You've got 3 depth starters with Priester, Fitz, Cooper Criswell, and Patrick Sandoval coming back. I hopefully in August, like, we'll see. But even if he doesn't come back, you should have enough depth to make it through the season. And one could make the argument that there's a good chance that this team's not even going to need to add a starter at the trade deadline. Like, they have more than enough starting pitching on paper. Is the key there on paper to make it through the season. Things change, always do, but you have to feel good about where the rotation is right now.
Yeah, and I agree. It's they might be one of the very few teams that won't have their hand forced into the starting pitching market come the deadline. That being said, if they are in the starting pitching market, that means something has gone terribly awry. Like, that means Crochet's hurt, Giolito's hurt, Bueller's hurt, one of those guys. Sandoval has a setback. Like,
there's none of the guys step in well. Like, Priester doesn't have it.
Yeah, and like there's the good thing is they're not like one move away from being in that position because they have six major league starters, seven if you count Criswell. Like, it would take two guys getting hurt and one guy really underperforming for them to really be pressured into getting into like that kind of starting pitching market at the deadline, which I off the top of my head, I can't tell you the last time they had that luxury. Maybe 2018 because they kind of had Brian Johnson back there. But it's been a while. It's gonna be nice to have depth for once.
Yeah, you look at the Red Sox rotation. When you look at a rotation, you look for a few things. You look for upside, floor, and depth. This rotation definitely has depth. We just went over it. It has upside. Four of the starting pitchers in this rotation have All-Star game experience. Like, have made All-Star teams. I think. Ooh, I don't know if Hauk received Cy Young votes this year. But I know that Giolito and Bueller have. I don't think Crochet did somehow. But like, you've got four guys who have like legitimate ace caliber seasons in their back pocket. And we're not even talking about Brian Bello, who the team went out on a limb and extended and gave the money. And if you've watched the Red Sox, you've seen what Brian Bello can do. And we obviously hope and expect him to take a step forward. And build off of his second half that he had last year. And that's not even talking about Cutter Crawford as your sixth guy. Like, there is a lot of upside here. I understand the floor might not be very high because Giolito coming off Tommy John surgery and the year before that coming off a really bad second half. Bueller, you can go into the stats, 5.38 ERA last year, and any metric you look at from last year's stats, it was not good. Obviously, he had the postseason 10 straight scoreless innings to finish it off and finish off the Yankees in the World Series. And obviously his prior years of legitimate ace caliber stuff are reason to like him. But his last season with his 5.38 ERA is reason that the floor is not particularly high there. And then you've got guys like Crochet, who has not passed 150 innings, has only done it once. Hauk has only done it once. Like, you could, the floor is not crazy, but the ceiling is high. And multiple guys can fail, and you could still have a really good rotation. Not in the way that the Dodgers did last year, where like six or seven starters went down and you were still good. But you're a couple of injuries or bust seasons. You could have a couple of those, and you'd still end up being okay.
Yeah, I think that's, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, it's a legit luxury right now. Because even if, let's say, perfect world, or maybe not perfect world, maybe real world, Bueller is about 80% as good as he was prior to Tommy John. Giolito is about his average self, right? You're talking about Crochet, who could very easily win the AL Cy Young. Hauk, who was an All-Star last year. Bello, who it would be hard for him to take a step back at this point. And then you're going to have guys like Bueller. Bueller, at 80% of himself, is a high threes ERA guy. Giolito is a low fours, high threes. Cutter is Cutter. Like, the floor is obviously a really, really low floor. But to get to that floor, you're talking about three, maybe four of the six guys really floundering, which I just don't see happening. And then the other thing is, yes, come the deadline, you're not in the starting pitcher market. You know how many teams are going to be? And if you have a guy, let's say Priester develops well, Fitz develops, Chris Wells being reliable, a guy like Cutter Crawford on the trade market at the deadline, you can address every single hole you have by flipping a controllable pitcher like Cutter.
Or like Pat, or if they're not in it, if this team isn't as good as we think they're going to be, and they're not in the race and they're sellers, you've got both Walker Bueller and Lucas Giolito on expiring deals. And if this team starts the year over the tax, you flip one or both of those guys at the deadline and you're right back under. And if you are in it, and you obviously want to add, then it's not flip those guys at the deadline, it's wait till the end of the season and QO them, give them the qualifying offer. And yep, all of a sudden it's like what the Mets did this year, which I could talk about for days about how this qualifying offer system is meant to benefit the small market teams, but actually it ends up benefiting the big market teams. You saw it with the Mets this year. You might see it with the Red Sox next year. And if the Red Sox have a couple of picks to play with next year, makes it even easier to make that big plunge for a guy like Vlad. But yeah, having these guys, these high upside pitchers on short-term deals really does give you a lot of flexibility to, you know, maneuver financially in whichever direction you want. Like if they're at the tax, you can keep pushing. If you're not very good, you can duck. And it gives you a lot of flexibility for next year. If a guy like Quinn Priester proves that he should be in the rotation every day, you're not tied to guys long term. And there's also a bunch of really good starting pitchers hitting the market next year. So having that flexibility, even though everyone wants Burns, and like I really wanted Burns, having a guy like Walker Buehler on a 1-year deal, there are a lot worse outcomes than that. And not to mention, by the way, it goes really well with a deal like Patrick Sandoval, where you've already got a member of your 2026 rotation set in stone. This kind of opens up that spot. And I know a lot of people don't know a lot about Patrick Sandoval, but he is a really good pitcher.
Yeah, I think. And then the other thing too is, like, if you have Giolito and Buehler both pitch well, both get the QO, right? That's two rotation spots, one of which obviously is going to go to Sandoval. They wouldn't have signed him to that contract if they did not want him in the rotation next year. But then the other part of it is, if you QO both those guys, they go elsewhere, you have an open rotation spot in two comp picks to play with. Like, mm-hmm. You're in the Zach Gallen conversations because you don't care about the pick. You're in on all these top guys because you now have this plethora of picks, a bunch of money to spend because these contracts are off the books. Plus, you already have a ton of money anyways. Like, they're so well set up for this upcoming season, as well as next offseason, if everything really pans out for itself.
Right. And just to focus a little bit on this season too, because I know that a lot of people think that a lot of the moves the Red Sox have been making are still future focused. Walker Buehler, I get it if you want to look at last year's stats and say that he is what he is. But before that second Tommy John, this is a guy who four straight seasons, let's read it off, the ERAs between 2018 and 2021. His ERAs were 2.62, 3.26, 3.44, and 2.47. 2022, he wasn't throwing that great, but probably had something to do with the fact that his elbow was about to blow out, which it did. Didn't pitch in 2023. 2024, the first year off of his surgery, was not good in the regular season, but looked like he kind of had it at the end. So the truth is, Pat, last year, it was frustrating because the Red Sox were in on all of these starting pitchers, both long and short-term deals, and the guys it seemed like they really wanted were Imanaga, Flaherty, Seth Lugo. Didn't get any of them. All of them had all-star caliber seasons. It's frustrating because it felt like their evaluation was in the right place, but they weren't convicted enough to make that plunge. This time around, they were so convicted that from what I understand, they wanted to go multiple years on Walker Buehler. They wanted a multi-year deal there, and Walker Buehler was the one who wanted to keep it to 1 year. So that's how confident they are in this guy who had a close to 5.5 ERA last year to get back to the form that he had. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with scratching the usage of that fastball that got hit pretty hard last year. But it's good to see them be so convicted in what they think is going to be right. Get this guy in our lab and we'll see what we can do with him, especially now 2 years removed from surgery, which, Pat, you know well, like sometimes the first year after these surgeries, it doesn't go well, especially now having two.
Yeah. And like, Gordon, you brought up a good point. The big thing with this front office, even prior to Breslow, there was the same infrastructure. Identifying arm talent was never a question in terms of free agents. You can go as far back as guys like Eflin. Like, they were in on Eflin. They loved Eflin. They loved
Lugo. That's another one.
They loved Flaherty. They loved Imanaga. Those are four guys who, since they were free agents, have had great at least one season, two seasons. Like, they were spot on with those evaluations. They just weren't aggressive. They didn't pony up to get those guys. The fact that they're jumping on Walker Buehler even before Corbin Burns signs, like right after Manaea signs, like they know the market's going to get, once Burns goes, Flaherty goes, like all these guys right down
the street. And then what's left? What else?
Exactly.
It's like Pivetta.
you're talking about Walker Buehler on a 1 year, $21 million. People start, you know, panicking, negotiating, whatever. You're looking at 1 year, 25. They were so sure of Walker Buehler that in what he can bring to the table, how good he can be in 25, they said, we're done with the burn stuff. This guy is going to be phenomenal. Let's get him now.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And you're seeing other teams' fan bases, like in particular the Blue Jays, who I feel a little bit for those fans right now, because there were so many promises heading into this offseason. I don't even feel like they haven't delivered due to lack of effort. Like last year, the Red Sox promised things and then didn't deliver, and it was because of lack of effort, because they didn't want to. With the Blue Jays, it's like they've tried, and you've got a fan base over there that is really concerned, and it's like if Burns is off the board, what else is there for a team that really wanted to add an impact starting pitcher? So, yeah, it is concerning, and you obviously got Vlad saying that, yeah, they're not even close on an extension. So it's nice that the Red Sox are not going to be in that spot. Like, they have more than enough pitching. Question for you, Pat. If you could decide, would you keep the six starting pitchers that they have right now, or would you trade one? Would you go into the season with the depth, understanding that you're going to need it at some point, or would you say, let's take advantage of the young, controllable starting pitcher trade market and maybe recoup some of that prospect capital that we lost trading for Garrett Crochet?
I think I would move Cutter. And I don't say that lightly. Cutter is a very legitimate major league starting pitcher. He's low fours. He's like the perfect 4 and 5 for 4 years of control, right?
Yep.
Four. Yeah. And I mean, we see the market. Like, the market is insane for free agents. Like, if you have teams that are contending but don't have deep pockets, yeah, Cutter's going to be a guy that really interests them. Not because he's some giant difference maker, but he's a controllable arm with some upside. And then from the Sox point of view, yeah, you have all this depth. Why would you trade from it? You still have depth. You still have this. What is going to be the starting five right now, plus Sandoval late in the summer, Priester, Criswell, Fitz. Like, there's still enough depth there, and there's not as many question marks as there were last year. No one knew what to expect from Bayo in a full season. No one knew what to expect from Cutter in a full season. Houck had kind of an innings limit last year in a way. You have Whitlock got hurt, Giolito got hurt. Like, you needed depth, and you also had to have kind of backups for question marks, and they didn't have it. This year, sure, Buehler and Giolito, little weird injury history, but both are pretty far enough removed where that's not a huge concern. Crochet, absolutely no limit this year. He's going to be a dog. Houck shouldn't have any limit this year. Bayo, good to go. And then you saw what Criswell can do. Priester showed some promise in AAA. They have more than enough depth right now. If they can meaningfully upgrade either the farm or the major league roster, yes, you trade Cutter. You don't move Cutter to move Cutter.
That's where I'm at on this is kind of what you just said. You don't move Cutter to move Cutter. I think it's pretty obvious, just if you watch Major League Baseball, any team, especially watching the Red Sox the last few years, you know that five starting pitchers isn't going to cut it for a full season. It's just not how it works. It never really did, but especially nowadays, it's just not how it works. So having elite depth gets you places. And yes, I would be open to it. I would certainly listen. And if I'm blown away, maybe I'd pull the trigger. But the thing is, the Red Sox don't have this obvious, like, the trade discussions that they were having were surrounding controllable starting pitching, which at this point they don't need, not this year at least. So I just don't see, like, yes, they need a right-handed bat, but where is that controllable right-handed bat that you want in this lineup for years to come that's on the trade market? Like, the only thing that comes to mind is like Taylor Ward maybe, but I don't think I would trade Cutter Crawford for Taylor Ward straight up. The 4 years of Cutter for 2 years of Taylor Ward, I just don't think the value matches up there. So I just, if someone wanted to blow me away with a crazy prospect package for Cutter, like, yeah, I would certainly listen. But I really do think there's value entering the season with depth, especially when one of the guys you have is Lucas Giolito coming off an injury, and another one is Walker Buehler coming off a very down regular season. You obviously have hope for him, and think he's going to bounce back, but you can't know it until you see it. So I do think, like, maybe if they'd signed Corbin Burns, I would have been a little bit more open, just because he's that guy who posts every single start, every 5 days for the entire season, 30 plus starts every year. With Bueller, I have high hopes for him, but I feel a little bit better going into the season with six sure bet guys, because all of the guys that we've talked about, we've got those six plus three depth guys and another coming back late in Sandoval. That's 10 guys. And I could pretty confidently tell you that all 10 of those guys are going to pitch legitimate innings for the Red Sox this year, at least if Sandoval is healthy enough to come back. But an interesting thing, Pat, it got my mind jogging right now with the trades. All the trades that we heard about with the Red Sox were for young, controllable starters. Now that they've got Bueller, does that put the Tristan Casas trade stuff to bed officially?
For this year, yeah.
Yeah, for this year.
Yeah. For this year, I think absolutely. I think they have their full rotation. I don't see how you move Tristan for anybody that's not a controllable starter at this point. And it wasn't like they were dangling him out there for the Jesus Lizardos of the world. They were going for guys with 4 or 5 years control and Woo Miller. Like, they were big fish hunting at this point. I just don't see where Tristan would go. Now, next year, you know, Walker's gone. Giolito might be gone. Who knows? Maybe Seattle is willing to talk again. But, yeah, for right now, I feel fairly confident saying that Tristan will be on the Red Sox for likely, I would assume, the whole season.
Praise the Lord, man. I guess technically we can't officially put it to bed until you see him out there on the field in a Red Sox uniform. But, yeah, I have a hard time seeing it just because of what I said before. Like, what controllable – because they're not trading for a controllable starter right now. I just don't see it. They have too many options. But what if there was like a controllable right-handed bat? But I don't know. I don't think there's one available. Like, yeah, if the Padres knocked on the door and said, here's Tatis, what do you got? Like, yeah, you'd talk about it. But that's just, there's no realistic options. But yeah, next year, like you said, Pat, you got multiple starting pitchers coming off the books. And then the other factor is they might want to make a run at Vlad, who might want to play first base. So yes, next year, like, we're going to be right back in the boat with Tristan Casas, even if he signs an extension, you're probably back in that boat. But it makes me feel okay, because I have so much confidence that he's going to bounce back, that if they do want to trade him in a year, at least you're not selling low, which this year, like, by God, for the millionth time, just still cannot understand why trading Tristan Casas was ever something that was on the table with them. But maybe it was just only on the table for the right deal, like a one-for-one for a young, controllable stud starter with 5 years of control. Like, I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have at least understood where they were coming from. Maybe they held that high of a price tag, understanding that no one was going to meet it, and assuming no one meets it, like, he's going to be back with the team.
Yeah, I think that's more the thing. Like, I don't think they were desperately trying to get rid of Tristan. I think they were like, look, this is what we're willing to offer for what we want. If you don't want that, fine. They weren't kind of pivoting off like, do you want Tristan? Do you want Tristan? Do you want Tristan? They were very pointed in bringing his name up. And everyone that we heard, at least, that they were linked to kind of throwing his name out there for, aside from Castillo, which we know was just wrong, everyone would have been okay with it in terms of like understanding. Like, if he got moved for Bryce Miller, people would be like, okay, yeah, no, I get it. Like, controllable guy, whatever. Sure. But yeah, I don't think they were super like, we need to move Tristan.
The only trade, big trade, that I think maybe they would look into now, but it's so hard because there's so few options out there, is if they wanted to upgrade the catcher position. Not even talking about the backup catcher position. Like, we still have to sit here and wonder, like, okay, what is the outfield alignment going to be? Like, is Willy Abreu going to be on this team? And now that they've got their starting rotation in order, it feels to me like it's probably yes, even if they sign someone. But there's still a world where, like, maybe Atlanta listens on Sean Murphy and the Red Sox build something around Willy Abreu to try to get Sean Murphy, and now you've upgraded your catcher position, which defensively was not good at all last year, one of the worst in the, I think it was actually the worst in the league at that position.
I think you're right. I think it was the worst last year.
So that maybe is the only area I could see them making a trade for. There's also catching prospects on teams that have good catchers. You look at the Mariners, they have a good catching prospect behind Cal Raleigh. The Brewers have a good catching prospect behind William Contreras. So keep an eye on those things, maybe, but those trades are hard to come by. You don't see top 100 catching prospects traded often. Obviously, we just saw one for Crochet, but that's what made it so surprising, was that it's so rare. But maybe last thing I have on the Buehler thing before we wrap, we got to get on out of here. But I was scrolling back to see all of like my old tweets about Buehler, just to like see what I'd said. And because I've always been a fan of Buehler. I remember in the postseason, he got rocked early on and I was in a group chat and everyone was shitting on him. And I was like, I will always believe in Walker Buehler. That's what I always used to say. I will always believe in Walker Buehler. Ironically, the two guys I always said that about were Walker Buehler and Lucas Giolito, who now happen to be on the Red Sox. But I found this old clip of us, and we'll have to resurface this at some point. But it was when Ken Rosenthal suggested that the Red Sox and Dodgers should swap Walker Buehler and Kenley Jansen, which is funny as hell because I know we haven't heard much about Kenley Jansen, but we know where he wants to be.
Yeah.
He wants to be in LA, and now Walker Buehler's in Boston. It's like, what if that little swap happens now after the season? It was funny hearing us talk because no one was fully right, because you guys were both very down on Buehler, which was right for that season. I was very high on Buehler, which hopefully will be right for the future, but I was too high on the bullpen. Like I thought the bullpen was gonna be totally fine, and it ended up being such a weakness down the stretch. Joe, we'll have to retweet that onto the feed when we drop this episode. We'll do it when it drops. I can do that. That'll be funny because like some of the shit we say, it's like it's not wrong or stupid or anything like that, but it's funny to hear us like. I'm like, yeah, the bullpen's like a huge strength. Like they can trade Kenley. They need another starter. And you guys were like, no, Buehler absolutely sucks.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, he did.
He did for the rest of the year.
Both sides are pretty wrong, honestly, because you were like, no, Buehler, he's Walker Buehler. He's so good. And then he sucked until the playoffs. And then he threw the last out of the World Series. And then we were saying how unbelievably bad the bullpen would have been without Kenley. And they sucked with Kenley. So
yeah. God, the bullpen ended up. I still do not quite understand how the bullpen fell apart to the length that it did. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, because obviously, yes, the catcher thing, maybe, but I think the two things that this team needs to do going forward, they got to get that right-handed bat. It's got to be one of Bregman or Teoscar, and they've got to get one more relief pitcher if they really want to finish the job on this offseason, but they really are that close. And I would honestly argue that they're really only the bat away from being able to walk away from this offseason saying it was a full-on success.
Yeah, no, I agree. The right-handed bat is an absolute must, and it has to be Bregman or Teoscar. The bullpen, yes, you kind of want a back-end lights-out guy, like a Yates, a Hoffman, a Scott.
I like Hoffman.
One of those guys. But at the same time, like it kind of would be a luxury.
It would be, especially with the rotation now, with having six guys. Like, not like technically, yes, Cutter has, but these guys aren't getting option. Like, way too much respect for these guys to send them to the minors. If you have six guys, you're either doing a six man rotation or you're having one of them in the bullpen, which I think is the likelier outcome.
Yeah, and I think because you think of the back end right now, you have Slayton, Hendricks, Chapman, likely Whitlock, Kelly, Guerrero, Wilson. Like, there's so many pieces there. And then you throw in a Yates, a Hoffman, or a Scott. Like,
yeah, it's deep as hell.
Like, top five, top seven pen in baseball.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has the potential to be really good even as is. And we've talked about this. We will probably talk about it a lot more moving forward because now that spot is going to be it's one of the two potential moves the Red Sox could make going forward. So We'll talk about that a lot in the future, but that's all the time we're going to have for this one. The emergency Walker Buehler to the Boston Red Sox podcast. Couple emergency pods this offseason. It's been nice. It's nice to see the Red Sox actually trying, actually making efforts to be really good. It really shows how simple it can be if you've got the core in place and it really is just plug this hole, that hole, and that hole, and you're good, which is the spot that they were in, and they're making progress. They've really improved the pitching staff, and now it's time to get to the bats, but plenty of time for us to talk about that in the future. For now, we want to thank you for tuning into this episode of Play Tessie. Before you get back to whatever holiday activities you're doing, or if you're working on Tuesday or whatnot, remember, hit that subscribe button. Subscribe and rate 5 stars wherever you're getting your podcasts. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think of the Walker Buehler signing. Check us out on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel. We've got a Play Tessie playlist there. It has all of our episodes in video form. You can hit the thumbs up on all the videos and subscribe to WEEI. As always, you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Pat and for Joe in the back and for Sammy in the air, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie, the emergency Walker Buehler, episode 164. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.